Time we go through a number of different things. There's a very famous Rashi. It says when the Jewish people came to Midbar Sinai, "Bayom hazeh bo Midbar Sinai." This very day, they came to the desert of Sinai. Rashi says, "Why does it say Bayom hazeh?" The reason that the Torah writes is page Reish Mem Beis in the Shem Shmuel. The reason that the Torah writes that this very day they came to the desert of Sinai is because the Divrei Torah should be new to you, as it was given to you today. As it says today, when I read that pasuk, I should think Jewish people came to Sinai today. Everything is happening right now. The Torah is given today. What's the idea that the Torah is given today? Every day I learn the Torah. Is today, today is Matan Torah. Today is the day it's given to me. So it says a couple of things. Is that when a person, Rashi says by Achashverosh, that Achashverosh used to always have a new wife, right? Because that is a huge harem. There was a new wife. So there's a certain excitement. Get to know somebody that you never knew before. A new person is a new it's a new experience. People get excited. Somebody new, a new wife. The first time a guy dates with a girl and she's very nice, he gets very excited. First time experience. Why is it so? Because he doesn't know this girl. So, but she's so nice, so it's very exciting. But let's say he's already married to the same girl for 10 years. He doesn't get so excited every day. He might still like her very much, but there's something in the excitement is missing, because it's already akin. He already has this person as his wife for 10 years. So he likes her very much, but he doesn't have that excitement that he had when he met her for the first date. First day, she was blown away. Or the wedding night. So this human nature. Human nature is, even if something is very, very good, but if I have it for a while, I'm not as excited. I get very excited the first time. People buy a new car. The first day they're driving around a new car. I have no idea what the fancy cars are, because I just have a Chevrolet and a Dodge. So plain old family Yeshiva jalopies. But Reisnish, I don't know. Volvo is a big car. Mazda, I don't know even what these things are. Whatever it is, the big car, the new car. So first day drives it. It's so proud, so happy. after he has a car ready for 6 months, his neighbor bought a real new car. His car's already 6 months old, jalopy. He doesn't have such a big pride, a big simcha. He made it used to it. You know, he made it, the car itself is very good. The excitement of getting it, the kinyan. The first kinyan, the first time you acquire something, that is amazing, amazing excitement. The excitement of discovery. I have something incredibly good. It's the same thing you see with money. If a person makes a lot of money in stocks, so the day he makes the money, now it's in seventh heaven. But 6 months later, a year later, so it's numbers in the bank account. He's not so excited. He has the money, so. It's the way it is. So with Torah, things with Torah, we say, B'chol yom, yom nechadashim, because every day, a person is supposed to realize when you learn something today, it's something completely new. Not something we had yesterday, and it's just a continuation. Yesterday, 2 days ago, 3 days ago. It's a completely new date. It's a new girlfriend. It's a new wife. It's a new car. It's a new $100 million I made in stocks. It's something new. Because he doesn't really have a kinyan. Realize he doesn't really have a kinyan in the Torah. It's something completely new. That's a pshat that his father, the Egbert Talson, was a big other. Egbert Talson in the Torah backwards and forwards. People say that you have to feel it. You don't know the Torah. I don't know this. I discovered it, it's something that I didn't know this before. Let me tell you, I was with the Rav. Baruch Hashem, I had a schus. For more than a quarter of a century, I went to Shir. And every time he gave a Shir, his excitement was mamish, the excitement of someone who just learned something for the first time. Such an excitement of discovery. He discovered America. He discovered Mars. Every day he was the first man to land on the moon. He just landed on the moon. Such an excitement. Such a discovery. The excitement of discovering something new. He was also a man who moved Torah backwards and forwards. But he also said, you know, he used to always say, you know, every year he was trying to pack and discover something new. And he used to say about a new chidush, a new pshatim. So he said, Ein lecha beis medrash b'li chidush. That was a favorite expression. Ein lecha beis medrash b'li chidush. It's not a beis medrash without a chidush. They're saying the same Torah they said last week, last year, just chazering. You cannot call this a base of medrash. I don't know what you call it. Chazara place, a review place, a chazarish. A base of medrash basically is a laboratory. It's a laboratory for new ideas. It's not a factory to rehash old ideas. It's not an assembly line where you're producing old products. Beis HaMedrash is a lab, it's an experimental laboratory where you discover new things. And by the Rav, every day, he couldn't say a shir if that shir didn't have a little chiddush, a new way of looking at something, a new discovery. Because he certainly believed that he did not have the kinyan. It wasn't that he had something in his pocket. He was just rehashing it with the boys. So that's what the Gemara says, that Ein Divrei Torah Ela the Ein Divrei Torah the Balei Geya, the exact phrase slips my mind, Torah goes to Anavim, to humble people, just like Mayim. Moses says Mayim goes to the lowest. Mayim seeks the low. Mayim goes to the humblest. The mountaintops, the water seeks the low levels, flows down to the valley, to the ocean. So also Torah doesn't stay at the guys who have big egos. Torah goes to the people who are humble, simple people. It goes down to them. So the thing is, because what's pshat? Why not? Why shouldn't Torah go to egotists? Why is Torah seeks the humble? Because the pshat is, someone who's an egotist, he thinks he has Torah in his pocket. He thinks he knows it. There's a good memory, he remembers. So, not new. He learned something, he's basically just reviewing old things. He cannot create a chiddush. He doesn't know what a chiddush is. Someone who's humble, he doesn't think he knows. He taka may know, like the Rav, Moshe Feinstein, these are two great rebbes. They talk a new Torah back and forward, but they didn't think they knew. The Rav, he didn't know. Of course, he didn't know the Pshat and the Rambam today. He may have known yesterday. He remembered what he said. But today he wanted to say it differently. He wanted to have a Chiddush. Moshe also knew the Torah back. Moshe also knew the Pshat he said last time. But Moshe used to be the same Shas. I don't know how many times a year, but at the Siyum HaShas, they reported their story that he was celebrating the 200th Siyum of Shas. Another famous story of Rav Moshe. But I went to Rav Moshe's Shir. I went to Rav Moshe's Shir in the Gemara. The man was clearly trying to say new things. It wasn't constantly always something he said. Last week, last year, 10 years ago, he remembered everything he ever said. I don't think he ever forgot anything in his life, but Moshe Feinstein was a genius of geniuses. His memory was incredible. But he was always trying to have a new insight, a new way of saying it, a new look, and he was successful. He was a very big machadish. All his shulam were full of chidush, new ideas. The Rebbe was a machadish. Because they were anavim. They didn't think they had it in their pocket, so they didn't have to struggle. They were looking to struggle. They were looking for what's difficult. The Rav would go on to the Gemara, or the Rishonim, and say, where is there a difficulty? What is difficult? If he couldn't find something difficult, he said, we're not learning. What is difficult? It has to be something difficult. And then he would have to be stumped. It has to be very schwer. He'd try to say this way. Maybe we can say this way, like you guys in the Beis Medrash with your Chavrusa, you get stumped on just reading the Tosfos or just reading the Gemara. But we get something at a higher level. How do you explain a contradiction in the Rambam? How do you explain a Machlokas, Rambam and a Ravid? No, it's hard, but he's stuck. He's still stuck. And he looks for the thing to get him stuck. He wants to be stumped. Then he wants to try to figure out the solution. That's the whole process of discovery. What do scientists do in a research lab? Try to find what's the problem. And once we get to the problem, 3/4 of research is discovering the problem. If you don't define your problem properly, you're never going to get to the right solution. So 3/4 of good researchers define the problem. What is the problem? If I know what the problem is, I can then think of an approach, how to get the solution, and then design the experiment to get that solution. But I have to know what the problem is. What am I trying to find? Am I trying to find a gene? Am I trying to find a virus, a bacteria? But I don't know what I'm trying to find, so I'm just a lost babe in the woods. Let me find the problem. Let me define the problem. That was the rub. Let's define the problem. What exactly is the problem? We have to have a problem. We We don't have a problem with not learning. Someone thinks he's learning Torah because he can translate and it goes smooth, then according to the Rav, he's not really learning Torah. It's a certain very low level. It's not real Talmud Torah. Real Talmud Torah is finding the problems, the koshi, and solving them. And hopefully you solve them better than you did last time. The Rav always said, don't tell me what I said last time. He knew very well what he said last time. Don't tell me. Ein beis medrash b'li chiddush. It's a beis medrash. We have to be discoverers. Not accept the premise that he had a kinyan in the Torah, that the Torah belonged to him. The Torah did not belong to him. The Torah was something, a new encounter. Every time was a new encounter with something new. That's why when the Rav learned Torah on Beit Shir, he was always smiling. Always. It wasn't the Shir that he wasn't beaming with Simcha. Many times during the Shir. Otherwise, outside Shir, he was a very, I would call, grouchy man. And he would walk around with many smiles on his face. Probably because people came to him all the time with Tzaras. You know, Gedolim had Tzaras all the time. This one has a problem, this has a problem. Take it to your heart. It can upset you. So the Rav, Moshe, they had a lot of problems. And the Rav certainly was very sensitive. You know. He wasn't, I would say, in general, I wouldn't call him a very happy man. But the Mashiach, you never saw such simcha. A simcha discovery of something new. Discovered something new. The Torah was a first date. I would say that. Rav Shir was the first date for the great girl. That was the first date. Imagine, a lot of guys have dated, ever dated before. Those of you who dated know that some girls, because when you're married, here's a shame, you should be zaycha, that the 10th date should be as good as the first date, and the chuppah should be as good as the first date. Then, the problem is, when after a while you get to know the girl, so it's a kinyan, it's not the excitement of the first date. But the first date, when you think, wow, first date, what a girl. What a discovery, such a person. That was the love. Torah was his first. Every day was a first date with the title. Every day was a new chiddush. Something new. Didn't exist before, something. Moshe the same. Moshe also had tremendous simcha in Torah. All the Gedolei Yisrael. All the Gedolei Yisrael have simcha in Torah. Sasa noichi alem rosecha. Motze Shalom Rav. David HaMelech says it. The Simcha of Torah is like someone who just discovered a treasure. Just won the lottery. Just made $100 million. What a Simcha. Just got the word. His ticket won. What a Simcha. 10 days later, after that, 50,000 phone calls. Hey, give me a part. Give me a part. He has to hire security guards. Protect his wife and children from kidnappers. He has to change his name and move out and hide. Then he's not so happy that he got the $100 million. But the first second that he got it, what a simcha. That's learning Torah. Torah is not just a simple discovery. Kamotze Shalom Rav. Someone just discovered a great treasure. This is a Gedolei Yisrael. So that's why it says, B'chol Yom Yivnak HaChadoshim. Every day it's a chiddush. Every day it's new. This is the pshat that the Eglei Tal says. And the Eglei Tal was a tremendous machadish. You see the whole Sefer Eglei Tal, which is written for halacha, is mole chiddush. It's mamish, it's havana. It's deep understanding, new things. What does the Shem Shmuel say? Shem Shmuel has a different approach. He says that when you study Torah gives a person two things. First of all, Torah gives a person a way to live, a code. What did someone once tell me? Someone said, very good word, this was a good lady, said, the Torah is it's a survival kit. It shows you how to survive in this very difficult world. Some of you, you know, we're so used to the Torah norms. You do this and you don't do that. And Baruch Hashem, the Torah is an amazing code, a book of life. Eitz Chaim, Machazikim, Bosei Pachaim. Torah Mamash tells you how to approach everything from birth to death. Same day, most rabbis on a Sunday will have a bris, a wedding, and a levaya. I had it myself a few weeks ago. A bris, a wedding, and a levaya. And I think to myself, it's an amazing. The baby's born. I have a syllabus how to react to it, what to do. It's a wedding. I have a book which tells me what to do. And there's a death. And a book which tells me what to do. The very same book deals with every kind of life experience. Health, God forbid sickness, joy, tragedy. Everything is in this book. Everything has been, there's a frame of reference. I'm not lost. I'm not alone. I have a guidebook. A guidebook how to survive in life, how to live life. It's an amazing thing. That's one thing Torah does. Another thing Torah does is that Torah changes a person. It gives a person a new level of his own life. In other words, he now discovers or acquires a certain kedusha. He becomes, the Torah sanctifies his personality. So it has an external and an internal effect. Externally, it guides a person through all the situations which life presents to him, which is a wonderful thing. And internally, it reveals his personality. It brings out the good part of his personality. It creates a kedusha within him. So he says like this. He says, the Gemara says, that a person is learning Torah, Kadosh Baruch Hu, Chvodo V'atzmo, is sitting there as a chavrusa. We all know the famous thing, Asara Shiyoshvim. God is mamish in this room right now as we're going to tell him, because we have 10 people in Baruch Hashem. But the Gemara says someplace that even Echad, Shiyoshev Vishona, Kadosh Baruch Hu Yoshev Vishona Kenegda. He has a chavrusa. Chavrusa's name is Bora Ola, Kadosh Baruch Hu. Is your chavrusa. You're learning by yourself. No one should think, I don't have a chavrusa. I'm learning by myself. You have a chavrusa. Bona Shalom is your chavrusa. When you learn Torah, God is your chavrusa. Because otherwise you really wouldn't be able to learn the Torah. The Torah is so difficult that without a Kadosh Baruch Hu helping me, mamish, as I learned, I could never understand it. I want to ask you a very simple question to illustrate this fact. Art Scroll sells Schattenstein Gemaras, you know, Daf Yomi. Sell thousands of these Gemaras. They have related to people. Literally, 33%, one third of all their sales are to non-Jews. Schattenstein Daf Yomi Gemaras. 33% of those sales are to non-Jews. Mainly, overwhelmingly, to churches and priests. Christianity comes out of Judaism, and there's a lot of interest today as especially post-Holocaust. Post-Holocaust, it's not fashion to be anti-Semitic. So the Christian church, after the Holocaust, cleaned up its act. It forgave the Jews for killing Jesus, and they apologized for Christian anti-Semitism. So now, if you're a Christian priest, it's good to be to like Jews. It's in. It's politically correct. It used to be politically correct to hate Jews. That was terrible for a long time. But today, it's not much politically correct. A good Christian priest, good Catholic priest, cardinal, even 15 cardinals came to Yeshiva University to get exposed to the base of Medrash. You see, a lot of turning around, even though I was against it. But the thing is, it shows something anyway. So they buy the Gemaras because they know that Christianity is a derivative of Judaism. So to understand Judaism, we'll be able to get a better understanding of Christianity. So they're learning Gemara. For the last, I don't know, 30 years, thousands of priests around the world are studying our scroll Gemara. Did anybody ever see a Dvar Torah written by a priest about the Gemara? Chiddush, one Chiddush. Did they explain any Tosfos, any difficult Rambam, Agadita, something in the Gemara? I mean, as I said before, there's so many problems. Hundreds of thousands of Jewish Sfarim are out there, thousands every year, to explain the Gemara. Explain Rambam, Tosfos, there's every Rebbe Rosh Yeshiva writes a Sefer Chidushim, his insights. Rabbi Shachter wrote 4 books, I published 5 books, Rabbi Willard published 3 books. Every Rebbe here, we're not the Gedolei Hador, we're regular Rabbanim. Well, learning, so you have there's a lot of problems, so you have an insight, someone else has an insight, you write it. Rabbi Sapolowski publishes books, Rabbi Simon publishes books. So how come not one priest out of the thousands of priests who are studying Gemara, not one priest has written a Sefer Chidushim? Might be very good. Maybe you could teach me something. Teach Rabbi Shachter something. Maybe he saw something, he understands something which we don't. Not one priest ever wrote a Sefer Chidushim on Gemara. Why not? The Teretz is because when they learn Gemara, they tackle learning Gemara themselves. They don't have a Kaddish Baruch Hu helping them learn the Gemara. When a Jew learns Gemara, Kaddish Baruch Hu Yoshev is shown and connected. Kaddish Baruch Hu is learning with him. So we have a chavrusa. That's why he says it. We say in the blessing, Baruch Ato Hashem, no sein HaTorah. No sein is Oshin Hovah. Hashem is giving the Torah right now. Hashem, I remember once the Rav said this in the Drasha. So I just repeat the words that the Rav said at the time. He says, when my mouth says these words of Torah, who is putting those words into my mouth? Who is making my brain think this way so I should have a clear understanding of the Torah and express it in these words? Hashem? It's not me. Hashem is putting those words into my brain and letting me say these words. The Goyim, they may sit and learn Torah for the next 1,000 years. They'll never have Hashem sitting there teaching them the Torah. They got to figure out with human brains. A human brain by itself cannot figure that. It's too difficult. It's a completely different way of thinking. It's a non-worldly way of thinking. A guy can't do it. For a guy, it's Greek, it's Chinese for me and you. Only a Jew has the schus, a Kodesh Baruch Hu, who is no sin Torah. Kodesh Baruch Hu is a Malame Torah. He's doing it every second, teaching us the Torah. That experience of learning with Hashem is Baruch, as a Chavrusa, and as a Rebbe, creates a Kedusha in the Jew where he's learning the Torah. Since a Kodesh Baruch Hu is a Kel, a Kadosh, he's Kadosh. So anyone who comes in contact with him becomes Kadosh, because Kedusha as a contact, it's kedusha spreads. Kedusha spreads. Gemara says, we say, for example, kedusha v'shata, kedusha l'asad lavo, chetzia mukudeshes, kula mukudeshes, idu machadish. Chetzi, the davar neshama shetluya bo, the whole thing becomes kadosh, etc. It's pashtus, it's kind of called ispashtus, pashta kedusha v'kula, kedusha spreads. So I'm in contact with the kadosh baruch hu, the kedusha spreads to me. That's why when Jew learns Torah, he gets kedusha. He gets a godlike quality. And this kedusha creates a certain chiyus. This kedusha creates. This is something new, which every time a person learns, it gets another level of kedusha. Another level. That's his chashus. And the meila, that's why b'chol yom 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 nekachadoshim. That's why we make a bracha on Torah every day. Why should you make a bracha on Torah every day? I made the bracha yesterday. I got the Torah when I was 13. Why am I making a bracha today? What's new today? New kedusha. New level of living, of personal experience, personal living. Every day is new. More kedusha. It's a chiddush. More kedusha is a chiddush. Therefore, this extra kedusha make a birchas Torah. So that's what he says. Famous Gemara says, "Rav Mitzia Pehei, al ma of the haaretz? Why was Eretz Yisrael destroyed? Al shalom berchu the Torah tchila. They didn't make a birchas Torah. These we're talking about." We're talking about Tanoim. We're talking about Chazal. The Beis Mishnah was destroyed in the time of the Tanoim, of Chazal. Al Shalom Berchu B'Torah Tchila. They didn't know how to make a Birchas HaTorah. They were not dealing with big people. They knew about Birchas HaTorah. Every Jew in those years knew what Birchas HaTorah. Today I could understand. Someone would tell me today, oh, I don't know, Eretz Yisrael has trouble, terrorists, who knows what. You know why? They're not making a Birchas HaTorah. That could be, because a lot of Jews, Taka, don't know what the Birchas HaTorah is. Unfortunately, there are a lot of Jews living in Israel who don't even know the Bracha Shebracha Banu B'Kol HaAmim. They don't know. But how can you say, in the time of the Beis Hamikdash Sheh, Shebracha B'Torah Tchila? He says, the Torah says Pashut. You make a bracha for something you appreciate, something which gets you excited, so you make a bracha. Otherwise, just mumble jumble. Maybe you might say the words, but I don't know if it's a bracha. The truth is, a lot of poskim paskin that bracha is tzrichas kavana. Even mitzvahs ain't tzrichas kavana, but the majority of the poskim say that's a mitzvah. I shake lulav without kavana, I'm yotze. But a bracha without kavana, I'm not yotze. Any poskim say, I have to think about the bracha. I have to understand the bracha. If I don't, I'm not yotze. It's a mumble jumble. It's basically bracha levatala. Most poskim say. So, when does a person say a bracha with a kavana? If it's something special, praise. Sheva brachos under the chuppah. The people are saying with kavana, because it's like a special moment. Everybody gets one of the sheva brachos as a kavana. But the guy's eating an apple, and he mumble jumbles the bar creates. Why is he mumbling and bumbling jumbling the bar creates? Because he doesn't appreciate the fact he has an apple. Apples come and go, so. Nothing special. Doesn't have kavana. So it's Ashla Bachu B'Torah Tchila. By them, Talmud Torah was everyday thing. They didn't appreciate. They didn't see the chiddush in the Torah. They didn't see the new kedusha that they get from the Torah. For them, the Torah was an old book. It's a way. Okay, good. It's a Jewish way of living. It's like reading the laws of New York City about how you're supposed to stop at a red light and cross at the green light and the yellow light. You have to pause. You don't get excited when you read the motor vehicle book. You want to go for a driver's license. Green light, red light, yellow light, two lines on the street. Broken line. I mean, you read it, it's a guidebook, but don't make you excited. So the Torah too, okay. Be kosher, don't betray. What does that get excited about? It's a Jewish way of living, it's a Jewish lifestyle. That's how they looked at it. Yes?
And you know what they say? It's a hekshremit. They thought it was a hekshremit, so you don't make a bracha on a hekshremit. That's what you said.
Right. They saw it. As a way of living, it's a Jewish code book. Okay, I'm an American. I have to know the laws of America. I'm a Frenchman, so the Frenchmen, I don't know, they drive on the left side of the street. The Americans drive on the right side. So I read a book. I move to France, so I'll read a book and say, okay, stop driving on the right, drive on the left. You're not going to get excited over just the way you're behaving. It's not exciting. When does something become exciting? When I feel it does something for me. I'm better. I got something special. Then I get excited. So make a bracha shechet. I don't know what makes us excited nowadays. But a baby's born that I think still people get excited about. In a very blasé culture, you can't say, oh, you bought a suit. Just as reading today, the laws in the Rambam says how much clothing a husband has to have for his wife. And so it says she should have a dress for the winter, a dress for the spring, like 2-3 dresses is the whole wardrobe. So, you know, for us it's a joke, because by us, the average woman buys 2-3 dresses every week, and every week she throws out 5 dresses. So, yeah, you have 2-3 dresses a whole year. So, I don't know. So, nowadays, you know, they say, buy a beged chadash, make a shechiyanu. So, I remember 40, 50 years ago when I was your age, so we used to have a deal, and buy a new suit, everybody made a shechiyanu. It wasn't so easy to buy a new suit 40, 50 years ago. There's a shayla. You buy a white shirt, you buy a pair of socks, would you make a shachiyana? A pair of socks, most people had. It wasn't such a big deal. Some boys didn't. They say that Rabbi Belkin, the president of YU, he didn't even have shoes in the yeshiva. He was in Europe. So share one pair of shoes with his roommate, another Rosh Yeshiva. There were boys in the yeshiva by the Chofetz Chaim. One pair of shoes. Whoever went out of the house wore the shoe. Otherwise, it was good. So nowadays, if everybody had a pair of shoes, but not everybody had suits. This, I bought a suit for my bar mitzvah. Hopefully, my mother hoped that I didn't grow too much. So keep it for 4 or 5 years. Then you go to college, you buy another suit. That's the way it was. So on a suit of Rabbi made a shechiyanu. The shayla was, you make a shechiyanu for a new shirt or a pair of socks, because that was taka moka. But nowadays, people are buying, like I just saw in the paper yesterday, big blow out of the full page, Hamodia. Come to our store, someplace, East 13th Street, Borough Park. Close out sale, end of winter sale, buy your most fanciest Italian suits, which listed for $500 are being sold now for $120. I looked at it and I said to myself, I already have two Italian suits. One is about a year old, one's about 6 months old. Maybe it's time to buy another Italian suit. And I would wonder with the one 6 months old, maybe I'll give it to charity. Or maybe I'll use it for the yeshiva. So I can wear an old suit, 6 months old in the yeshiva. This is a Rosh Yeshiva and a Rosh Yeshiva salary talking. Because we reach such a level of gashmius that even the fanciest suit in the world, an Italian suit, is nothing. It's like it used to be the old days, a white shirt, a pair of socks. I know maybe yeshiva boys will make a bracha for a Borsellino hat, but the Borsellino hats are also only being sold now for $150. Remember, I was once in a store for a hat, so came in a new chassan. So he speaks to that guy in the store. He says, "Give me your best Borsellino hat." So the guy takes out two hats. He says, "This one's $150, and this one is $250. And the guy's there with his father buying for the chasana. So he says, "Try on both hats." The guy tries on both hats. And the father's looking at it. The father says, "You know, you look very good in the $150 hat." And the storekeeper says, "Yeah, I think the $100 hat might even look better than the $250 hat." The boy says, "What an insult. You want to spend money on my wedding? Only $250. I'm not even take away this piece of junk $150 hat. Only $250. That's the cheapest you had? That's the most expensive? Not more than $250? Because down the block they're going to sell a Borsellino for $400. Must be better than your $250. Let's go with the Abba. Let's go buy the $400 hat down the street. They're too cheap over here." It's a mentality nowadays. What do we make a bracha shechiyanu for? What's there to make a shechiyanu? What's there to appreciate? So, achvesnish, maybe if you buy, I don't know what the fancy cars are, Mazda, or what's a very fancy, Japanese, or
Mercedes.
German, Mercedes is still on the top,
Lexus.
Buy a Lexus, I'll make a shechiyanu. Okay, special. It cost me $85,000, but maybe not good enough, it should cost at least $100. Less than $100 is too cheap. So, the thing is, but the Chazal say, the Pesukim say, a bracha without kavana, if you don't have the kavana, it's not a bracha. And the Chanami, if you're not going to just mumble jumble shechiyanu, then don't say it, because you have no kavana. Brachas, what we say the bracha, and they ask the person at 5 and say, "Did you say the bracha for your eights?" He ate. You guys don't eat apples. I eat apples. You guys eat candy bars. Okay. So what's a candy bar you like? Mars?
Snickers.
Snickers. Okay. I never eat them. Okay. You ate a Snickers candy bar. I asked you 5 minutes later. Do you say a shahako? Not so. I don't know. Do you say burn the fushes? I don't know. Now, you probably did say it, but you said it in such a mumble. In other words, you didn't even know you were saying it. Because you don't appreciate the candy bar. But if you couldn't afford a candy bar, let's say you couldn't afford it, you don't have a nickel to your name. And all of a sudden, one day, someone gives you, how much it costs, the Snickers? $1? $0.25? How much?
$0.25.
Okay, one day somebody, and you see all your friends are buying this every day, and then one day someone has a chmanas and says, "You know what? I'm cheating you. I'm buying an extra Snickers just for you." Then you say the shahakal with kavana, because you appreciate what you got. Then it's a bracha. So the Gemara says, "Why al machova habais? Why was the Beis Hamikdash destroyed? Al shelo be'achu b'Torah tchila." They taka said the bracha of Torah, but it didn't mean anything to them. They don't remember 5 minutes later if they said the bracha. Maybe they did, maybe they didn't. They don't remember. Because it wasn't said with kavana. They didn't appreciate the fact that they had the Torah. The Torah for them is just a guidebook. It was a motor vehicle book of how to drive. Drive on the right side, let pedestrians cross. okay, Shabbos don't cook, Shabbos you're not supposed to carry in the street. It's a guidebook. It's not something special for me to give me a chance to meet Hashem, to get Kedusha. That's what Torah is, not just a guidebook. It happens to be an incredible guidebook because it takes you from birth to death. Every step along the way tells you how to deal with a situation. Birth, bar mitzvah, wedding, dying, everything has a book, chapter. That would be amazing. But, all right, so I know what I'm supposed to do. Someone dies, I go to a funeral, and then we say, Marki Menachem. A person appreciates the Kedusha of Torah, what it does for them, then they make the bracha with Kavanah. Very important that we say every day 100 brachos. I want someone to tell me if he could tell us now, it's 11:30 at night, tell me the 100 brachos you said today. Make your own cheshbon. Can you remember the 100 times you said a bracha today? Do you remember if every bracha was said with appreciation of what the bracha is about? When you said the motzi, did you appreciate the fact God gave you the bread? That you weren't like there's a guy I heard about him tonight. There's a guy who was a graduate of yeshiva. You know where he lives? Under the George Washington Bridge. He's been living there for 30 years. Because as I was driving with someone who was a classmate of his 30 years ago, and this person comes to visit. So 3 nights ago, when it was, you know, minus 10 degrees, wind chill, so he came to this person's house to warm up for 1 hour. Now, when that fellow, who lives under the George Washington Bridge, he gets a hot soup when he comes into this old friend's house on that night, he says, a shahako, yes, kavan. When I said the shahakol, I probably didn't have kavanah. Because I get a hot soup every day, whenever I want. I get hot tea whenever I want. Why should I make a big deal about it? So the thing is, when we go through the day, and we're going to make at least 100 brachas a day. What the Chazal are telling us is, and it says, kol ha'omer me'ya brachas b'chol yom, muftach lo, Shuben Olam Haba. I once heard a very, very beautiful speech from Rabbi Wolfson. You know, everybody wants to get to Olam Haba. Right? Everybody wants to get to Olam Haba. Anything I can do to guarantee, I will go to Olam Haba. Olam Haba means eternal bliss. Not 1 year, 2 years, 50, 100, 1,000. Forever I'll be happy. Eternity. With angels. With my parents, with my grandparents, with all the tzaddikim, I'll be with them forever. We'll have a good time forever. I need a guarantee. What's the guarantee? What can I do to guarantee it? So the Gemara gives a few things. One of them, the Gemara says, is Ha'omer Meya Brachas B'chol Yom Muftach Lo Shuben Olam Haba. It's a guarantee. There's a Haftocha. God promises. But there has to be a caveat. Meya brachas b'chol yom. Every Jew says, because when you daven and you bench and you go to the bathroom a few times, it's already 100 brachas. The only day we can have a problem with 100 brachas is Shabbos, because Shabbos we don't have 19 brachas in Shemona Esrei. We only have 7, so you're losing a lot of brachas. But every day of the week, you just go through the siddur. And go to the bathroom a few times and eat a few things during the day, shahako, burn the flushes a couple of times, and you're at 100 brachas. You tell me we're all guaranteed. Does it make a difference? No, there's a catch. Ha'omer meya brachas b'chol yom. If those brachas are a bracha, not just he mumbled, jumbled the words, he said the bracha with kavana. Because even though mitzvahs may not need kavana, but brachas need kavana. So the person will say those 100, if a person will say 100 times a day, God Almighty, I really appreciate what you gave me now. I'm really thankful. You gave me a piece of bread. You gave me some water. You gave me a piece of gefilte fish. And I'm healthy. And I have friends, etc., etc. Every bracha makes me today. And I have clothing. And I have, thank you, I have shoes. And thank you, I can stand up. I don't have to lie in bed the whole day. I'm healthy. Taka says it 100 times a day. Even one day, 100 times. Truly, sincerely thank Hashem for every one of those 100 things. It's guaranteed that we got all of our bra. It's a better schooler than the Ari's mikveh. It's a schooler. There's a schooler. If you go to the mikveh of the Ari guarantees you're going to do tshuva, and tshuva will get you to all of our bra. Here the Gemara guarantees it's better than the Ari. I'm sure that we would agree that the guarantee of the Gemara is better than his. It's a segula. We're into segulas nowadays. We want to have shortcuts. Here's a shortcut. One day I'll say all 100 brachas with real kavanah. I thank Hashem 100 times a day, guaranteed to go on my bracha. My of the Haaretz, they didn't say the bracha of Torah with the right kavanah. They didn't really appreciate it. We took it for granted. Yeah, we have the Torah. Big deal. It's a very big deal. Because without the Torah, the Jew for sure is lost. The Goyim, I'm not so sure. The Goyim have a way to survive without the Torah. But Jews without Torah, it's incredible how lost Jews are without Torah. To Isi Kaser Oved, David HaMelech says, if you don't have the Torah, I'm a completely lost sheep. Unbelievably lost sheep. You just have to read secular Jewish publications to see how lost Jews are without Torah. Incredible. Just look at it objectively and tell me, do these people have, do they know what they're doing? Or are they lost? Mamish lost. So, the Torah is mamish, my guide. So how can someone not make a bracha on Torah? There it says, he takes it for granted. It's nothing to be taken for granted. It's an amazing, amazing gift that we have. We have to appreciate. So we should be zochem yitzhak Hashem that this week is the parasha of Torah. The parasha of Aseres HaDibros. So we're in the spout of Kadosh Baruch Hu, we hope that we should be zochem to appreciate the Torah. The Kol Yom Yevinak Chadoshim. First of all, that we should know that Torah is new. Every time we study the Torah, we're discovering something new. It's not old, it's something mamish new. We look for the problems and try to resolve these problems. Chidushim. That's, and second of all, when we go through the process of learning Torah, we should appreciate what it gives for us. The incredible guide, the ability to handle every situation. Every situation. Boys are coming to Rabbein with every possible situation under the sun. And the Rebbe has what to say. Where does the Rebbe know it from? From learning the Torah. The Rebbe's not a genius. He just knows Torah better, so that we can tell a boy, do this, don't do that. This makes sense. It doesn't make sense. It's all divrei Torah. That's one. And more than that, when we learn the Torah, we're learning with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's a chavrusa. So he's getting the kedusha of Torah from him. We have to be appreciative of the Torah. We have appreciation of the Torah. Say the bracha with kavana. Say the bracha with kavana. And say all of the 98 or so, 97 brachas of the day with kavana. With muftach, we have a guarantee, the best guarantee, that we're going to go to Olam Haba. Shall be Zocha Olam Haba, and the Guru Shlema, Amen.
Amen.
Yes, the Hananaki, Shir Shir Chadash, Shubinana. Oh.